or whatever the it could be something that you want to share beyond that as well. Could be a good practice or something. So if that makes sense for everyone. I don't know whether Kuntius or Ariel, I mean, as a representative or Jaywalk and Feppy, maybe you guys want to take turn to start that. Or I'm sorry to pick your name, but I could be nice if you could share your experience. And then also want to welcome Bong Sakan from This Life Cambodia. Thank you for making your time to join us.
Oh, good. Nice to see you here too.
Thank you for having me.
So, Paul, you may need to pick the order that you'd like to hear from these people because everyone's going to be so polite and respectful that they won't talk.
Okay, Guntia, would you like to start? Because I know you're quite busy.
Okay, thanks for the giving the opportunity to speak here. Thanks for support. Yeah, I'm a little bit I have some unexpected guests today, so I would like to join some input first. Yes, I think it's really a kind of crazy time with just the USA administration and all these things that affect all of us. So I think it's really good that we all come and share what challenges are we having, especially regarding fundraising and and volunteer like expert and all those things. Like JWalk, we normally have expert or skilled volunteer from foreign country, mainly from the US, and also our fundraising also mainly based US audience as well. So I'm so concerned that this year all of this global issue and the administration in the US will affect our fundraising. So I was thinking that it would be nice to inform everyone in the network in case any of the organization that are running similar project to us on youth development, education, skill building, that we want to join to get the writing grant proposal to somewhere else that we've never done before. Because we don't know if the recent donor who are based in the US would be able to support us the same way as they did before. So that is one thing that JWalk would be open to any of the our team here in the network. And if you want to discuss more detail about how to do this joint grant proposal or some activity together, please feel free to reach out to me personally. We will definitely find time to talk more in detail. And I think this can be done with so many partners here. I would give an example that JWalk used to do with Anjali. We used to collaborate with each other and receive support from CAC Foundation in the past. For example, at Anjali, they run this computer project, and we also do that at JWalk. So we do, some kind of exchange, trainer, providing capacity building to the trainer, and whatever area that we can do. And then, we receive support to do our own project. But at the same time, the result is that we have the trainer exchange their knowledge with each other and other things. So those are kind of example that JWalk has done in collaboration with Anjali, and then we receive one grant together that we share. So this is just an example to the team. The reason I'm bringing this up is, again, maybe it's really time to join project that is that has very similar goal and purpose. And it may be attractive to donor than what we have done individually. So that is one thing. Other than that, JWalk has been concerning about our individual donor who mostly are based in the US. Especially we are running sponsor recruitment campaign. Normally, sorry, Michael just joining. Normally we start around April, and this time we are going to start in the next 1 week. We have not we do not know if there is any effect like slow response or anything yet, and that will be the test of how much the Trump administration will affect our fundraising. But what one of the strategy we have now is the matching fund. We have been very successful when we have matching fund. So this year, even the sponsor recruitment campaign, JBOC also received matching fund from our one or two major donor, and we hope that will attract, you know, individual sponsor and donor. But if it is quiet, I'm not sure, but I would assume that, you know, this new issue with administration, you know, global issue and all those things affect the intention of people who give toward our program. So that would be a few things I want to share about. Mainly the concern is really funding. So again, if any of the team member here in the network would like to talk to us about, you know, joining grant proposal together, can be to other organization, can be to C Asia Foundation, you know, can be to individual, I'm open to discussion. So that's all from me. Thank you so much for the chance.
Well, that's a good start. That's a good opening for it. And Ariel, you were disappointed that you had something teed up for USAID and then got that rug pulled out from under you. Maybe there's something you wanted to add.
Yeah, for us, Pepe had worked indirectly with USAID a few years ago. We actually were working with PACT, P-A-C-T, who worked, and they worked directly with USAID for a project 2 or 3 years ago. So this is actually in November of last year, we actually qualified individually to work directly with USAID according to their terms at that time, that they wanted to work more directly with beneficiaries. So we had gone through the interview process. We kind of did all the requirements that they needed in terms of providing paperwork and background. And in November, I believe they finally gave us the okay that we qualified, that we can start working on grants. So right away, we started to work on one. The due date was January 16th. President Trump came into office on January 20th. And I think on the 22nd, he made that USAID announcement that essentially, you know, broke the entire system, that entire system. And so it was very upsetting to see how quickly we went from excited about being a potentially new member of this great partnership to being scared. You know, honestly, we got an email from them about a month ago that was to reestablish connection with donors that I think, I'm sorry, with partners. And I think anyone else who saw this email was probably really terrified with what they saw, where it was, you know, the target, the focus was on terrorism. It was on all kinds of benefiting the US directly. You know, like, how does this make the US richer? How does this make this relationship make the US stronger in a way that is so missing the mark for what aid programs do, for what, you know, these kinds of support and systems are supposed to, you know, foster. So, you know, I think we just miss the opportunity to really be hurt by them. You know, we hadn't signed on to anything yet. We hadn't been approved for anything yet. But, you know, I think we're lucky in that sense. But I hate to see what's happening. You know, I know that a lot of organizations have already lost a lot because of this craziness. So it just hurts to see. I think, you know, from now on at PEPI, you know, we have a lot of US-based donors. We have a lot of support from coming from the US. But for us, it just seems more logical to kind of make sure we keep other relationships growing just as strong, meaning relationships that we have in Europe or Australia or other places. We make sure we don't, you know, forget those, that we don't lose those, that we keep those strong. And then we really make sure that the US-based donors and foundations and donor groups also, you know, we keep in touch with them. We see what they are up to, what they can do, you know, what's possible, you know, how they're affected by these changes. And then just trying to keep supporting one another however we can. That's really all we can do right now, is wait for the courts to figure this out, because you're right, Bill, that the president doesn't have this authority. This is all Congress. Congress should be deciding what's budgeted, what's not, what changes, what's affected, and that's not what's happening. So
well,
it'll probably take 2 years.
we could put a little bit of a positive outlook on it, is that it may take 6 or 8 months, but eventually the courts may catch up with Trump's bad behavior and restore some semblance of USAID again. But it's going to take time.
Yes.
But listening to you, I wanted to just ask a question that hadn't occurred to me before. Pepe, for example, excuse me, Jaywalk, for example, has a US 501c3 nonprofit charity into which American donors can make donations, get the tax deduction for it, and then forward those donations on to Jaywalk. Does Pepe have such an organization? I can't recall that you do.
Well, we use Global Giving, which is a platform that does provide 501c3 kind of like it provides the same tax benefit for donors that come from the US, but we don't have to register as a 501c3 in order for donors who use that platform to get that credit. And so there's this one, and we had talked to you about figuring out a way to do this through different means, and we're still trying to navigate that. But I think for the most part, because we're locally registered, we don't have a US bank account. We just kind of have to navigate these things a little bit differently. We aren't counting on the US the same way we used to when we were a 501c3, which is right now a big strain in this situation. But I don't think we want to close ourselves off to anything. Anything that kind of makes it easier for donors, wherever they are, to donate, we'll try to figure that out.
Well, let me say it for not only your benefit, Ariel, but for others in the group, that that's a function that our Southeast Asia Foundation can provide on your behalf. I'm just looking at my screen, and I do that. Sita, we do that for you with some American donors that want to send money to Children's Improvement in Siem Reap, and we're able to offer them tax deduction. The money comes to us. Unlike many of the others, like you mentioned, Ariel, I don't take a cut. So 100% of whatever is donated on behalf of CIO is forwarded on to CIO. Through ours, and we do that for we do it for the Green School in Kampong Tralak. We do this for Caring for Cambodia. We've done it with a number of other of our NGO partnerships, and that's just part of what Sopal and I do in the spirit of partnership with NGOs that we have vetted and care deeply about. Odam, you're probably one of the biggest beneficiaries of that process, that we have several American-based, US-based donors, because you don't have tax-deductible authority in America, that donate through our foundation, and we're able to re-grant that money onto to BFT, Build Your Future Today, with 100%, 110% confidence that the money's being used wisely and properly. So I just invite all of you to keep that in mind, that if you have US donors that don't have a pathway to get that money into you, that's something that we're very happy to do. And it's in the English term for it, American term, is being a fiscal sponsor. So I can operate as a fiscal sponsor for BFT. I can be a fiscal sponsor for CIO. I can be a fiscal sponsor for Wichita at the Green School. I can be a fiscal sponsor to several of my organizations in Thailand. We don't promote it, but we make it well known, and we're not pushing for it. We're not a solution looking for a problem, but we're certainly available where we can best serve. So that's in the time of difficult funding, we can help at least with American donors. In fact, so Paul, we've actually done that with a few donors for your School for Field Studies also. Oh, and another one, there's somebody from REACH in here today, I know, and we're also helping REACH with that because REACH is registered in Australia, and all the Australian donors can get a tax deduction into REACH, but we're able to assist REACH. And I'm impressed with what a great job that they're doing with raising some money out of America. So we celebrate that when we see that showing up in our accounts, and I just accumulate it and keep it in a bucket, a separate bucket in our bank account, and when it gets up to a reasonable amount of money, then we make a transfer. We actually make a grant. And send it that way. So thank you, Ariel, for opening the door on that topic.
Pleasure. It's super important that we get to the bottom of what can be done, and still, like you, like you're very much actively doing, sharing that there's hopeful. There's hope somewhere. There is an idea, that the courts will help solve this. That the courts in the U.S. will help make clear that presidents can't do this, and hopefully reinstate some of the funds or reinstate some of the programs as before. You know, we'll have to see, but. Yeah,
Yeah.
it can't be like this.
It's going to be messy for a little while in America, while the three branches of our government, the president, the Congress, and the courts, which are three co-equal branches, the way our government is set up, checks and balances, there's going to be some tussling and redefinition of the power balance there. We don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm cautiously optimistic, but it'll take some time. I want to come back to something that Contia said about you'd had some success with matching money. And we made a matching money offer to Rebecca recently at Caring for Cambodia, and I think that helped with your fundraising ability. We also made a matching offer to Venerable at Life and Hope Association, and I'm it looks like they've raised more than what we agreed to match, so that's significant. I've just asked one last question. Is it really money they've raised, or is it just pledges? Because we'll match money in the bank. So I'm just waiting for the answer from probably Carol, Venerable. Probably Carol Nagy is the one to reply to me, but we're happy to do some matching, and it helps give you some leverage on fundraising. You can actually promote the notion that every dollar gets matched, either dollar for dollar or 50 cents on the dollar, depending on what the arrangement is. So, Paul, who else were you looking to hear from here this morning?
I don't know, but Bongsakan, if you're ready to share some of experience, I know at this Life Cambodia, you work a lot with like grassroots and the vulnerable people. So you addressed a little bit last time we talked at your organizations about how much this life Cambodia got impact from that USAID. If you could just share us a little bit of the experience and what sort of approach that your organization planning to do or something, that would be great. I'm sorry to pick on you, but I think your experience would be beneficial for many of us. Thank you, Wong.
Thank you, Sopal, for giving the opportunities. Yeah, this life, we run many programs, and one of them, which is this life, Reimagining Cares, funded by USAID through Save the Children International. Yeah, the project are nearly finished. I think it's implementations plans until June. So we have the gaps between February to June that has been impacted by the USAID stop work order. But this challenge. Fortunately, we have a few other foundations who recently joined our donor-specific sessions that this fellow organized in late February, and they step in. We are providing emergency fund to bridge the gap. So World Childhood Foundation and Martin James the foundation step in. They're providing small funding. Actually, it's not that big, and still not enough to cover the gaps that we have. It's not just this life, because through Save the Children, there's some sort of control teams called Family Care First that consists of many NGO networks in the areas of child protections. So at least there are seven NGOs that has been part of this project. So Martin James and World Childhood Foundation offer the small funding to bridge the gap for the periods that has been impacted by USAID stop work order. But the amount has been distributed among those seven NGOs, and still not enough for all the NGOs that have been impacted by this stop work order. But that's how somehow it helped. Sorry.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm curious. Was this life actually affected directly by the USAID shutdown?
Yes, but only 6% of the what we call the our annual budget, because it's
Percent
only
on your annual
cover
budget.
one of the programs, and there's only the last 4 months of implementations. So it's still a small percentage. I mean, if you look at the overall budget, but somehow it still impacted the program we have implemented, and we try to look for the possible funding to bridge this gap.
Okay, well, that's useful information for me. I'm not sure quite what I can do with it, but I'm making a record of which of my Cambodian NGO partners was directly impacted by the USAID shutdown. And I have three, you, this life, Pepe and Spoons.
Bill, we're also on that grant at CFI.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, as is Sochia, who's here in this call. So Sochia and us and CCT, who I don't think is part of the group, we were all on one consortium in Battambang, and then TLC and Hagar was on the other consortium from
How
Simri.
much, Patrice, I'm glad you joined in and spoke up. How much were you hit by that?
We lost about 50,000, which, as Somkhan mentioned, is a small percentage because it was at the end of the grant. So it's about 10% of our budget. So we're able to also thank you to Somkhan and This Life Cambodia for stepping in and helping with some of the funding from, especially from World Childhood, that they've been able to help bring to the partners as well, and sort of prime that because Save the Children has had to shut down in that role. So we're still able to operate, same as he said at This Life. And I said, I think most of the partners are the same, but I think all of us still lost quite a bit of money.
Yeah, and Sokan, in actual dollar amounts, how much were you hit?
Sorry, I will need to look at the numbers. I could not remember. Give me a second.
Yeah, I would like to just keep a running total of that, and at some point, I may have the right person that I can speak to that I can get some attention with a cumulative number.
I think for us, it was really interesting because the grant was nearing its end already. So at least we were anticipating needing to reduce, for instance, staffing. So we already had some staff quit recently. So we haven't had to cut staff with the loss of funding.
Good.
But our team is down. We had 10 at the beginning of the FCF project, and now we're down to 6. And we had about 250 cases that we were holding, and now we're down to about 150. So we've had to reduce a lot
Oh,
on our social work.
and your work, as I remember, is very labor intensive. You do an awful lot of family intervention, family counseling. And you've gone from 250 families to 150? That's big hit. That's huge.
Yeah, but we were anticipating this. So much of this was starting to happen prior to the USAID cut. But when USAID hit, obviously we started ramping that work up of reducing cases. I think I'll say another thing about the way that it has affected us. I think as an organization, we can obviously talk about that and talk about funding, but I think that under this grant, we were supporting a lot of families within the community. And a lot of those families were relying on us. We were providing cash support to about 70 families, and we've had to cut a lot of those families off pretty immediately. And we've kept supporting some that were in extreme situations. But obviously, that creates a bit of a lack of trust within the community. And same with the government. We were in this project working very closely with the local government officials. And I think the immediate stopping of the work that we had promised to do also erodes trust with the government. So I think these are the three kind of big concerns that I have, is one obviously for us as an organization, but also for our community, and also for the relationship that we have with the government.
And it it also puts you in the position of having to make heart-wrenching decisions about who do you cut off and who don't you cut off. And those are terrible decisions.
Yeah, it is. And also, we've reduced the amount per family. So even the families that are continuing to receive support are receiving less than they were receiving before. And how do you
Well,
explain that to someone who doesn't know anything about the US or Donald Trump or, it's not easy.
what we talk about, so Paul and I talk about a lot, is when we're making decisions, we at least need to be mindful of whether we're making these decisions with our heart or with our head, and they're very different. And it sounds to me like you're doing a balance here of compassion for the people you're helping, but you're also using your head and looking at the numbers and just realizing you can't print money, so you live within your budget. Only our crazy government can print money. Well, I guess most governments can print money.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill, I just look at the statistics
Yes.
provided by SCI that they conducted a financial a review on those the organization. So they come up with a budget gap of 163,899 as a budget gap, and they expect to have the budget gaps to cover between May and June for 114,189 US dollars. And with the funding,
We call it 165,000 for, is that all going to affect this life?
no, that's all the eight SCF partners,
Okay.
NGOs.
But for you, how do you know how much it would affect
Yeah,
just?
this line alone, it's 28,100 as the
28,
overall
28,
budget.
000. It's serious money. Just with the four that I'm aware of so far, it's close to $200,000. Serious money. And I know that Child's Dream. Not on this call today, but Child's Dream gets USAID money, I think, and provides money to some of you that are on this call today. I just made a note that I'm going to be in Chiang Mai after I'm in Cambodia on this next trip. So I'll be in Chiang Mai in early May. So I'll see if I can connect with Child's Dream and just see what I can learn there.
Children people just call me before the meeting start. They should be here. I'm not sure if he's here.
I didn't see anybody come in, but everybody was joining really quickly, and I might not have recognized the name.
So I'm not sure either. Anyone from chat room, please.
That I'll follow up on that one, but I'm also appreciative that we've got somebody from CCDO. Nab is in here from CCDO, and I think you're going through some reshuffling of responsibilities now that Leng Seng is no longer with your organization. Are you CCDO impacted at all by this USAID? Were you getting money from them?
Thank you so much, Pierre. I am new and like to meet you all, brother and sister. So I am operation manager in CCDO. So we'll be manage all the project and program under the CCDO director. So after Lindsay left, so we will have a new director coming soon. But now she is on the maternity leave, so she will come back after coming year. So in the next meeting, so she will join the CLLC meeting too. So
Well, good. Well,
yeah, for the CCDO, we don't have any project or fund from the USAID. So currently, we don't have any problem with that. So we will have a great meeting with you, Bill, and also Paul, when you are come to Cambodia. So we will meet and discuss more about what we can help each other in the future.
good. Well, let's
Yeah.
be sure to get some time on my calendar. And we just had a another join the meeting just about 15 seconds ago. Dim just arrived.
Sorry for late. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Hi, Bill. Hope you're well.
No, we are well, and we're happy you've joined in. And we were just in the process of talking about the impact of USAID shutting down. And
Nice.
I know that it affects spoons.
Yes, it does. Okay, thank you, Dan.
And you're welcome to join in and speak to that a little bit if you're comfortable doing so.
Oh, would you like me to like speak about it now?
Yeah, you can, and it's always nice if you're able to show your face on the screen. There we are. There,
Okay.
that smile.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me today, and apologize for being late again. The funding does affect Spoon, but not too bad because we have signed the contract for 16 students, but then immediately or suddenly they just say that they cannot process with the funding. So we were struggling, but for a short time. And thank you, Bill, and all donors to help on this.
Yeah, you've recovered pretty nicely. I've almost 100% recovered from
Kudos to Supani and the team
it was what,
and you.
$66,000 or $68,000 hit from that you lost from USAID. So
Yeah,
not trivial at
that's
all.
a lot. That's a
Yeah.
lot. Yeah.
So
Lucky for us. Yeah. Thank you for your support.
well, thanks for the great work that you're doing, and glad
Thank
you could join us here.
you.
So, Paul, you want to keep active in this conversation as to what other people do you want to hear from, or what other topics do we want to make sure that we're covering in this? It's not a funding crisis, but it's a funding dip anyway. It's an unfortunate situation we all need to work together and get through.
Okay, I need to pick up on Sajid since we are now talking on the network with like CFIs and Dislike Cambodia as well. So Sajid, would you like to share your experience if there are any impact or something?
Thank you so much, Necrosapal, and thank you, Will, and hello, everyone. I am also new for this session. My name is Suchit. I'm from Hole International, and actually, Hole also get affected by the USA funding, similar to this slide and CFI just mentioned. Same but different, because we're doing implementing different projects. I'll get funding from USAID focusing on the alternative family-based care, you know, where we provide care to the children who separated from their families in the community. So we call foster care and kinship care. And the total budget from that funding is around 150 between the period from 1st October 2024 to June 2025.
So less than a year, 150,000.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. From the October 2023. Sorry.
So a little
so 21 months.
Year and a half.
Yeah. And yeah, from January, so we still have the gap, you know, because the funding freeze starting from January 24th. And between that, you know, January 24th to June, the end of June, yeah, so the gap is around $15,000. And luckily, currently we are covered by the James Foundations, James Martin's Foundations, from January to the end of this April, so around 3 months. So we have very similar issues where, you know, we have to look for the new funding to fill the gap, main, you know, until the June, and also, you know, our fiscal year ends by the end of September. So still, you know, in between that, we still look for the funding to cover. Yeah. So we do affect from that, but yeah, we not just implementing the foster care, kinship care projects, but we also do other main two projects. You know, we call family strengthening, where we focusing on strengthening the family in the community, where they are at risk of, you know, providing proper care to the children. Also, you know, the children that's at risk of dropping out of school, something like that, you know. So we try to support the family so that they are able to still maintain their children in school, you know, providing proper meals to the children in their daily life, yeah. And another project we call domestic adoptions. So yeah, we in that project we work very closely with the Department of Social Affairs. You know, so we want to find the permanent families for the children who those abandoned, fully abandoned, and don't have the family. So we do that through the courts process, but very close cooperations with the Department of Social Affairs. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it for now from both. Sorry, it's the first time. I don't know much about the sessions, but yeah. Very excited and looking forward to learn from everyone here. Yeah.
Are you based in Siem Reap?
No, in Battambang.
In Battambang, okay.
Yeah, but we also have a domestic adoption project there in Siem Reap. Yeah.
Okay, next, may I come to Rebecca? Do you think are you available to share any experience or any challenge?
Oh, she's muted and has her camera off, so maybe she's taking a nap or something. Now we got her.
No.
Now she's woke.
Wasn't sure if that was, she said my name for a second then, but yeah. Regarding US aid funding.
Yeah, if there are any or
Well, fortunately, I guess in some way, we are lucky that we haven't had any funding from them. So we're fortunate enough that we haven't been hit by that. We were looking into the process of applying for a grant with another partner, but the information just kept getting pushed back. So, I mean, we know why now. So luckily we didn't go into that, but yeah, right now we're just trying to see what the knock-on effects will be because a lot of our funding does come from the US, and how that will impact kind of other donors and companies and foundations in the US side. So we're just kind of waiting to see what that will mean. In the meantime, we are looking to see how we can, you know, expand our reach into kind of Asia, and just see what's out there in the funding sphere. But yeah, well, it's an interesting time, as we've he heard from everyone this morning, a bit, you know, hard hitting on everyone. But I do believe what Kuntia said, partnerships, I think is key moving forward. So we're also looking into that area as well.
Well, Rebecca, we're going to explore I think a new opportunity for CFC. Next week, I'm going to meet with a fellow in California, Moni Knopp, who is a Cambodian living in America for a long time. But in particular, and on your board now, and an avid supporter of CFC, but he's also a member of the Rotary Club in his town. Oh, can't say.
Livermore.
Pardon?
Livermore.
Livermore. Thank you. He's in the Rotary Club of Livermore, California, and Rotary as Odam and Sina can tell us, Rotary makes what are called global grants. And if we can get Rotary to make a global grant, the minimum size for a global grant is $30,000. Otherwise, it doesn't qualify. And they can run up substantially from there. So I'm meeting with Moni on the 11th, so it's just a little over a week from today, in the Bay Area when I go down there, and talking about global grants and how we can get his Rotary Club of Livermore involved in taking the lead on that global grant. So that's in the larger sense, that's something we should just be mindful about for any of our NGO partners that have a substantial base in America, is to find if they've got connections with Rotary that can do something meaningful as a new funding source.
Yeah, this would be our kind of first time experience in that. But as you know, you'll meet Moni. He's very energetic about this. So we're excited, hopefully, for the potential of that. And that would go towards our teacher training program that we want to expand. So that will also potentially have an opportunity that we can, you know, share that kind of program with others too.
Yeah, and also with CFC, I mentioned earlier that we did put up some so Paul and I put up some matching money, which you might want to speak to. How helpful or how did that work for you in terms of your fundraising?
Yeah, that was a huge help to us. That went towards our end of year campaign. And with that huge support from UN SAPAL and Southeast Asia Foundation, matched up to 20,000. And we actually managed to like triple that because I think others were kind of like, okay, well, we can do that too. So it does kind of generate a lot of energy. And I think others kind of look at that and think, well, yes, we can also do a matching. So we were very, very happy with that. And that has gone towards us building a digital innovation lab at our EDC space in town. And Bill, yeah, when you come, you can come and have a look. We have started the building. It will probably be done in the next few months. But yes, that matching campaign really worked well for us and got a lot of people energized. And I think it just helps when people realize that their money is going towards generating more money, essentially. So that was really good for us.
Good. Well, we mentioned it early in the conversation here today when Contia was talking that matching money is a way to excuse me, make my emailing stop. But matching money is a can be effective sometimes. And I've had people offer our Southeast Asia Foundation matching money, which helped me with fundraising. Then I could reach out to somebody and say, if you donate a dollar, it'll become two. And one of the powerful things about Rotary Global Grants is that if you donate a dollar to a Rotary Club like Livermore, if Moni can raise a dollar, it'll turn into $2.80 through a Rotary Global Grant. So it is a powerful pyramid game, and that significant leverage, because club money gets matched dollar for dollar at the district level. A district is a group of 50 or 60 Rotary clubs, and then gets matched 80% again at the Rotary International level. So it's a 2.8 multiplier currently on Rotary Global Grants. And I know that Odam, you and Sina are the biggest beneficiaries that I get to work with, but you've had great experiences with Rotary, not just Rotary that I've been involved with, but also all your Australian Rotary contacts and elsewhere in the world. So that's something we may, as we're working to fill the gap for funding at this time, that Rotary can be one of the other places that we can look.
All right. So next, now it's like 11:07. We can maybe not many of us have impact, but I actually want to pick up on Nandi from Angeli to share your experience if there are any project you impact by that. If not, you can just talk about the successful and challenge that you get at Angeli.
You want me to discuss impact? Okay. Well, this quarter we've reached 501 students.
Oh
So
my
in the
goodness.
last, yeah,
My goodness.
501 across three sessions. So our morning session, our afternoon session, and our evening. So that's a big impact. We've grown tremendously over the last 3 years. Now we're about to the point where a bit capped out. We don't much have much space for others. So that is our big impact. We haven't really announced this yet, but I guess this is a good time as any. We've kind of expanded into two new areas. One is master degree scholarships. So we have six. Am I frozen? No, you're good.
No, you're coming through fine.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, we have six students exploring and doing master's degrees. I also have one staff, now two staff doing master's degrees. So that's a great advancement for Anjali. And it's so Thierry here.
Yes, I'm here.
Do you want to talk about our other little project?
Yeah. So we have another project which is called Bridge to Abroad. Currently we have six new members that we selected. So the idea of Bridge to Abroad is to help prepare the youth in Siem Reap, those who are currently in universities and those who are graduated from universities, to be ready for them to be ready to apply for a change program or scholarships. We talk about global opportunities. So we prepare them. We had a few meetings which we discuss on different countries and cultures. We invited speaker Nadi to talk about American culture and how would they prepare themselves if they are going to study in the United States. And we had Sarah, our program manager at FreeDesign, to speak about Australia and what is it like in university in Australia. So we do this, and then in the next quarter, we will discuss about what are the scholarships and exchange opportunities that they can apply so that they will have mentors to support them with their applications to apply for exchange and scholarships so that they can bring the knowledge and come back to the community. And we support them with the fee for making passport, the cost for IELTS test, a standardized test, so that they can be qualified. They have the eligibility to apply for the program. And then at nearly the end of the year, they will have an opportunity to travel abroad, maybe to Thailand or Vietnam. We have not decided yet, so that they can explore and go to different universities in the neighboring countries. So that is the outreach to abroad.
Those are both what you're doing at Free to Shine as well as Anjali. Those are big, high impact, exciting programs. Are you having any funding challenges in doing that?
Only, I think that we can talk about this.
Well, initially, when this project was approached, it was a 3-year guarantee from this specific donor. And of course, this is our pilot year going into these projects. So we have a 3-year guarantee on it. That being said, these funds do come from the US, and we don't know what's happening there. So not yet.
Not yet. Good.
Yeah. We have 3 years, I believe.
Great. Excellent.
And I think that's pretty big news from us. Those are our three main things.
It's huge news from you, and proud to be a part of what you're doing. It's awesome. But so, Paul, I think we ought to also take a few more minutes just so that anyone that's having a funding challenge right now that wants a little floor time to speak up and share that, we should hear from anyone who's struggling there.
So, Tira, do you want to talk about your transport project?
thank you, Wong. So we at Free to Shine, we would like to thank Bill and CHR Foundation as a whole for the support to fund two projects actually. One is our new project to have. Which is to work with the girls who are disengaged at school. So we got 80% of funding from 100 Women, which is a foundation in Australia. And then we got 20% from CSI Foundation to support this. We now have the person in the new role to run this project. Also, because we use motorbikes to travel to the communities to meet the girls and families and work with them. Our bikes are very old, which we use them for almost 14 years already. So we applied for a grant to the CHR Foundation, and we just got back to us really quick, and We are very excited, and we are so grateful for the support that CHR Foundation, with the support from CHR Foundation, we will be able to have four new bikes, which will help us a lot in order for us to implement our mission in supporting the girls and to help them and prevent them from what is going on in Cambodia right now.
You're gonna have to give me a ride on one when I get there later this month.
Yes,
you better bring your helmet, Bill.
No, I don't have room for a helmet in my suitcase, so you'll have to have a helmet for me.
Also, because surprisingly, we tried to get the quote from the shop, the Honda. So we tried to get a quote back. But they just let us know that the bike actually they are raising the price right now because it's nearly the Khmer New Year. So a lot of people will want the bike. So the price is going up. So now we have to wait until the end of the new year.
And then so the prices are going to come back down again?
Yes, yes.
Oh, craziness. So, Paul, you mentioned I ought to have my helmet. I was on my last trip. I had lunch with a friend in Thailand, and we had lunch, and I needed to get to my next meeting. And he said, "Well, I can give you a ride to the next meeting on his bike." And so I didn't have a helmet. He had a helmet. And wouldn't you know, this was in Chiang Mai, right into a roadblock. That was a 500 baht ride for me without a helmet. So we're careful about that. Who else would you like to hear from this morning, so Paul?
I don't know, maybe HHA?
I didn't.
It's a bit quiet, HHA.
Who's here from HHA?
Me.
Oh, there you are.
It's still morning here. Good morning,
everyone. You snuck in when I wasn't looking, Chantin. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. At HHA, for this school year, we recruited over 230 students. And this year, our main focus is really improving our education curriculum, because as part of the exit strategy, we want to turn it into a social enterprise that can sustain itself. And that is a majority of the work that I've been doing with Bong Salin is really working on that exit strategy, as well as having like a financial strategy as well. So a lot of planning. And thank you so much to Bong Dom and BFT team for letting us shadow his projects up in Swiler. So a very enlightening experience, and we learned a lot from a BFT model. So we are currently working to get that exit strategy planning at least all the way to identifying our potential programs, and then planning accordingly in terms of fundraising. And with the Trump administration and everything that's going on in the US and worldwide right now, fortunately, we are not directly impacted, as our funding from the US comes through Sea Asia Foundation. But from our partner in Australia, a little bit of difficulty as well, since the economy has been really slow for them as well. So last year, we got really hit by the low exchange rate. So that was a challenge, but we are working closely with a fundraising partner in Australia. We have a campaign coming up sometime this month. So hopefully we get some funding from that. But yeah, really just working on the exit strategy and improving our current programs. Thank you.
But you raise a thought in my mind that I want to share with the group here also, is that we've got one donor in America that has funded in the neighborhood of $10,000 two or three times with HHA, and we've shown them another opportunity, which is under consideration right now. So this is a donor that I work with out of Boston, East Coast of America. They're not a huge foundation, but projects in the $5,000 to $10,000 range, if they are high impact, and for them, high impact seems to be a lot of beneficiaries. So if any of you've got projects that are in the $5,000 or $10,000 range with relatively high impact for the number of beneficiaries, share that information with me, and I can put the proposal together with you in partnership, and then we get it into this foundation in America. Then they need Southeast Asia Foundation to be a fiscal sponsor, but it's another funding opportunity. And say they're not the biggest foundation, but I'm sure they've got capacity for another two or three projects if we can identify something that really appeals to them. So we've been very successful with HHA. We've been very successful with the Women's Resource Center. So there may be some opportunities for that, again, to bridge this funding gap right now. So, Paul, before we leave the topic of funding, what more do you want to make sure we talk about?
I guess now, like, maybe all of us already connected, and now we know who have capacity to do what. So it's like even the new people to the network or current one, you know, now we have resources in this network, and it seems that everyone actually open heart for support and for discussion. So just feel free to reach out and discuss, and yeah, hopefully we can meet in person as well very soon. So just email me which day that you're available, that you want to meet us in person, then we can discuss more detail of the project that you want to do and other effect that you got from the current funding and such.
Yeah, I'll be back in Cambodia in later this month. I'll arrive in Siem Reap late on the 25th. Odam and Sita are going to keep me busy, I think, all day on the 26th. But then I'm in town until I leave on the 7th of May. So there'll be 10 days or so in there that we can have some time to get together. And I'm also planning on coming back in July. So we'll get some time, and so Paul's really good about helping arrange the schedules for that. So wide open, and happy to do whatever we can do to help through this period. But I also want to note that I was really pleased to hear about what Chantin was saying about working with the BFT up in Svailu District, and I'm presuming learning about your four-year model and how you work with the community and help them towards sustainability. And that's been one of the really, really important things that the whole CLLC group is getting increasingly better at, is helping one another to better serve the people we're trying to serve. And so I was pleased to hear that. Good on you both. As well as the collaboration between Thodrick and Nadi at Free to Shine and Anjali. I just really enjoy hearing that. We all get better, smarter, faster when we work together.
Well, next, I mean, we still have some time. May I call upon maybe Bong Chai Lun? Do you want to share anything, any project or any concern?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, there you
Bong
are.
Jopal, yeah. Hello, BLM. Hello, everyone again.
Nice to see you.
I thought the global child, yeah, we don't have the impact and our problem with the budget from the USAID, yeah, because we don't have any fund from them. And I would like to share about our project and as our plan, the mentoring program that we got the fund from Southeast Asia Foundation. This time we have the research time and we start our project and from January. I have already sent the start report to Bill and Sister support. So and the second time and we at in the February, yeah, we have the sharing session with the family and we have then 41 a family that joined and the our sharing session related to the value of education. Yeah. So they all and very happy and they said that a very benefit for them than to have the child at home. Yeah. Another activity in February and we have a activity with the student and there were 136 students, yeah, to join the activity. Yeah. That related to the reading club and general knowledge. In March, we have the another activity, yeah, related to the reading and hygiene, then we take the student there and related to the body hygiene, then take care of their tools and how to wash their hand, and so that because and the student and when we observe and their tools that how they how the problem, yeah. So and in Maja we have the 136 students also that joined our activity. And for the next activity and we will hold on the May, yeah. But then I want to will join that program, but then you leave and early then because our program and the end of the month.
Oh, I'll
The
miss
week
it.
four.
I'll miss it.
Yes. Thank you, sister, and thank you, Bill, and that all from TGC. Thank
Well,
you for sharing your
you're quite
success.
busy. You've been very busy.
Yes.
Where
Yeah,
did you get
next.
the, you have about 36 kids in residence, maybe 38 now. I can't remember the exact number. But then you said you had 136 in your group. Where'd you get the other 100?
Yeah, then there our student here and to have the yeah we divide the group and they can lead and we separate the class and so and our student then can manage and can control, yeah, can share and the knowledge that and we that they have studied here and to share at the rural area, yeah.
So just other kids from the village.
Yes.
Well, I know you know many, many kids because you get such a long list of kids that apply to come to the Global Child, and then we were talking earlier about really, really difficult decisions to make. You have to make
Yes.
those to what maybe 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 that applies gets accepted into your school. So you've probably got lots of kids that are happy to come to your extra programs.
Yes.
Great work you're doing.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, we often use the second portion of our gathering, and we've still got a little time left, almost a half an hour. And we use it for celebrations. It's an opportunity just to share with the group something really, really good that's happening in your organization, something you're happy about, something you're proud of, something you love to share. And we also make time for any particular needs. Now, we may have talked a fair bit of that when we were talking about funding shortfalls, but it's a good time to do a little bit of celebrating for what's been going on that's really, really good in your organization. Or if you've got a particular challenge, it's also a good time to share that with the group. Open mic. We're open to anyone who would like to share. Otherwise, so Paul might call on somebody again. I'm not the only one who does that.
I don't know, maybe I want to call
Nandi's got her
on.
hand up.
Okay. I will, please. Oh, Nandi.
Oh, sorry. I just have one more.
Go
Since
ahead.
Kanthia spoke about collaboration, the other thing we are going to do is now we're collaborating with Kids Play International because
Oh, are
they
you?
have a yeah they have a project where they want to expand their community fair play days. So Anjali House will now be their partner and be conducting these workshops at Anjali as well.
Ooh, love it.
Yeah, so just in the spirit of collaboration, that's a cool thing that's also starting here.
Oh, that's exciting.
Nice.
That's
Wonderful.
it.
Thank you.
Right.
Nice to hear.
May I call up on Luku Bunhorn from First Step Cambodia? I know you just ran a workshop for youth. Would you like to share us about that workshop? Luku Bunhorn, are you still there? Sure. So yeah, if not anyone, I don't know, maybe
Bunhorm is
ADF.
from First Step. Bunhorm shows on my screen, but I don't have a camera on.
Maybe you can.
By the way, our internet has been awfully good today.
Yes. Good morning, and Bill and Wong Paul. And
hi, Samri. How
yeah.
are you?
Yes, I'm good, and you?
Oh, just fine.
Yeah, but for 8 days, I would like to review our activity to all of you. So for our program in for English class, now we are still have 228 students in Gulen, and right now we are just to work closely with another NGO we call TDSO.
Mm-hmm.
For teacher development training in Siem Reap. So we are closely to work with them for capacity building our teacher in Gulen. So we will be start after coming new year.
Excellent.
Yeah. And one more project, we are work with the private donor, like DKSH is supporting a small budget for the library in Brown from primary school also. So we will start the project in after coming new year also.
Oh, good, good, good. And I'm really pleased that you're working with TDSO.
Yeah.
They do such a marvelous job of not just teaching English, but teaching teachers how to teach English. And they also partnered with Spoons that last year and again this year with the cohort of new students that come to Spoons, about 80, more than 80 kids from some faraway villages, some of whom can speak zero English, but rather than have Spoons try to teach them English, they engage TDSO to do the teaching, and it's been very effective. So,
yeah.
Paul, there's another partnership between Lynn and TDSO and Spoons and TDSO. Love to see that. Love to see that.
Yes, thank you, Bill. Oh, Bong Paul,
yes.
Now in Gulen, this year we have lychee. Is I think at the end of this year, at the end of this
yes.
month, will be the on time. It's a good time.
Very good. So
yeah.
It's nice. So you can try some.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. Who else have not speak? Maybe Kambu Project. Kambu team,
yeah,
do you want
been
to share
really
anything?
Quiet.
No. Okay. Fast, I miss you.
And you too, Mom.
There we are. Welcome.
สำหรับคันบูสำหรับปัญหาเนาะในยังชุบระดังนึงอยู่ไหมเด็กขึ้นมาบ้านอ่ะบอง
เออใจอังเล็ดเต้เบี้ยก็สับบ้านได้เป็นใจขึ้นมาเนี่ยคลาก็ใช
่ for this situation about Kambu project we don't have any problem with the fund because we have the fund from the Switzerland yeah and with our computer project, we already like implement with the school, and now we plan to check to monitor at the school, but the school has gone with the student, no one at the school, so we plan to check after this my new year. Yes, mom.
Well, and we need to brag a little bit about Cambu that for the past 5 or 6 months, your team has worked together with some American donors and built a 5-room or 6-room school building in Rongdaeng. Five
Five
room
room.
school building plus a toilet block in Rongdaeng. And on time, on budget, high quality work. You guys did great. You did great.
Thank you so much.
Be really, really proud of that. Maybe the biggest project Cambu has ever taken on in one big bite, one big piece. Everybody's really happy with the result.
Yeah, we are happy and we really appreciate it. And thank you, Bonsapar, and thank you, Bill, for always help us.
No problem. You help us to achieve what we want to do in community.
Well, that's what working together gets us.
That's all for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the good work.
Our pleasure. Who else would you like to hear from, Sopal, before we adjourn, while we still have a little time left?
Yeah, I know. Grace House, please.
And long you've been real quiet.
Hello, Bill. Hello,
Yeah,
Master
there
Paul.
you are.
Hello.
Hello,
Oh, good. How are
everyone.
you, Amber, too? Good, good.
And yeah, thank you so much, Bill, for the introduction to Jessica Sang, from an organization that's working with disabilities, and we had a meeting with Jessica, and yeah, we will share a little bit of our work with Jessica.
Oh, good,
You
good. And
remember that?
you did connect okay then.
So we connected, and then we will keep connecting with that NGO so we can learn from each other. And yeah, and we've got Jim is coming after my new year. You remember Jim you introduced to Grace House?
Yes.
So he's coming to Grace House on the 21st.
You're talking about Jim, J-I-M, Jim.
Here I am. He's coming
Yeah.
on the
He sound,
21st after
he,
Queen.
I think that's a pretty good fit there.
So we're gonna do the same as your visit, and yeah, we will have a little talk and share what we're doing with the community, and hopefully he will help Grace House.
Well, he's interested in your general education program, where Jessica was interested primarily in working with the kids with disabilities. So both important. Jim may have a little bigger impact on your organization if it fits.
So yeah, we have already organized that time. So
What days is he meeting with you long?
on the 21st of April.
21st of April, just before I get there. Yeah.
So he
Okay,
only
well
has
I'll come see you when I'm there, and then you can tell me how it went and what else I can do to help with the move it along.
Okay. And yeah, nothing much different. And we haven't got any challenges because we don't have any fund from USAID. And yeah, so everything is normal here at this house.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
No unfortunate impacts then.
No.
Great.
Okay, so, and yeah, thank you most of all, and Will for keeping supporting us. NGOs in Cambodia, thank you so much. And yeah.
Truly,
Yeah.
truly a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, that's all from Grace House. Yeah, and yeah, Happy New Year. Happy 20 years.
Happy 20 year. Thank you.
Yeah,
Okay.
big excitement. What do you get what 4 days of celebration or is it five?
We,
Four.
yeah, I think it's 4 days. Four
Four
days.
days. Yeah.
The school is shut for 2 weeks for the staff to have time with family. Yeah. We
Well,
start from next week.
the staff can use the rest, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's all from Grace House. Thank you so much. And enjoy. I'll go. Thank you.
Okay, maybe who else want to share more things?
Well, maybe everybody is
Mm.
has had their say. We don't need to fill all the time available,
Of course.
but we want to make sure that anybody that has something to share certainly has the opportunity. I think that's one of the important features of our CLLC group is that it's a safe place. It's a safe place to come and share ideas. It's a safe place to ask for help. It's just a safe place to partner with other like-minded people.
How they wanna do? Look who set up. You wanna say something? Wanna call him, but like, yeah, the last but not least.
Me too. I was surprised.
Yeah. Nice to hear from you.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to hear
Yeah,
from you.
I'm just listening carefully to what our speaker said today, and I'm pleased to hear what they share with us. But I will never forget. Once again, just say thank you so much to you. And support for your best effort to have CIO. Yeah, I can't thank enough, Bill, for filling the funding gaps for CIO at the moment. And I just share with you, this month we have three older children that they get a well-paid job because they graduate university. And two boys left for Sinoville. They get work there and well-paid job for the two boys. Yeah, I'm happy that now they can get a good job.
That's exciting. And that reminds me to bring up another topic related to that. I do a newsletter about once a month. I call it Voices from the Field. And so I typically introduce a story. And then I tell the story with pictures and sometimes with videos. I tell the story about one of our NGO partners. And the most recent newsletter was the story I told. No, this not the most recent one. The most recent one was about scholarships. The one before that was about CIO and CETA. And you gave me all the information. Remember, we talked about that. I wanted to hear the story of the twins, and I wanted to see a couple of pictures. Yeah. And my goodness, I told that story, and we raised almost $10,000. And people say, "Oh, I want to help CIO. I want to help CIO."
That's amazing. Wow.
It was one of the most successful newsletters that I had. The recent one I wrote on scholarships, I've had people putting some money in for scholarships. But the point is that I want to make is that help me tell your stories, because every month I can tell a story about one of you. I haven't told the spoons story yet, and I've told the Kambu story a couple of times for different reasons and gotten very high response to that. So help me tell your stories. And I do it in a way that I only use my voice to introduce my NGO partner. And then the rest of the story is pictures and maybe a video, and it's your words. I might edit it a little bit, but it's your words. And I even use a different color type. I use a different typeface. If you're not familiar with those, go to my website and go to Field Reports. It's right on the top of the newsletter, and just click on the Field Report and read two or three of those. And they really help me with the fundraising. And sometimes it's fundraising in general, and sometimes the funder said, "I want to help CIO." Because like we heard earlier in the presentation today, you're really working on abandoned kids and working with local authorities who have kids. They don't know, they don't have a place to put them. They don't have a place for them. And you know, that touches hearts. And when I can touch hearts, then I can get people to open their wallets, and then some money shows up. So that's part of the way, that's part of the way that you guys can all help yourself, or you can help me help you, is take a look at those field reports, voices from the field, and read the one that we did on CETA. It was pretty compelling, particularly with that video and the story you told about the twins from the time they were babies and now they're 13 years old. That was touching, and people respond to that. We did one for the Women's Resource Center, and PSI gave us a tour of the new wellness center for the new drop-in center, the Women's Resource Center. And it's been very, very effective. So it's another opportunity to deal with the funding gap. They're not about me. I really want them to make them about my NGO partners. And it isn't really about you as so much as it's about the donors, that here's an opportunity for you to do something really, really cool, and you can feel real good about yourself. Donor, you can feel really good about, and that's exactly, Sita, what happened with you is one guy said, "I want to send $5,000 to CIO." not only made the donation, but he told me where he wanted it to go when I told your story. Actually, I just helped you tell your story. So I encourage
you,
take a look at the field reports, read two or three of those voices from the field, and see if you couldn't help me with my next field report. I gotta write another one in about 3 weeks.
Thank you, Bill. I really need to write one for you.
Take a look at the format, Dim. I appreciate that. Take a look at the format. And in your case, if we talk about the fact that you just did 80 people from the villages and they went through the program, find me the story about one of them.
Yes, sir.
I could put it in the context of 80 students, but let me tell me the story about one of them.
Okay. I will do hopefully next week.
Yeah, and I can work on that voices, and I can actually publish it when I'm in Cambodia or Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last most recent newsletter, I wrote about scholarships, and it was for REACH, three scholarships we funded from REACH, and so I actually use two different voices in that report. I did the voice from Emily about why these scholarships were important and why they were warranted. And then we did it in the voice of the three young women who got the scholarships, and they got to tell their story and why the scholarship was life-changing for them. The stuff works. It works. Help me do a better job. Thank you, Sita. You reminded me to say all of that.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. All right. Okay, that's what I have. And thank you, Sir Paul, never forget. Thank you.
Okay,
my kind of answer, sure, can do some.
Well, now it's getting pretty close to your lunchtime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I really appreciate everyone who joined us today, and all the stories sharing. I'm very glad that the turnout for today is like a lot, and we heard a lot of good stories and also heard about the successful or some collaboration work that already existing and the future plan as well. Looking forward to see more of those collaboration and fundraiser together. And see you in person very soon.
Yes, I'll be there in a couple of weeks. Very much looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looking forward to welcome you all back in Spoon. Have a great day, everyone.
I'll show up, I promise. I promise I'll be there.
Thank you, thank you. I'll wait for you.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you all for participating. And I've gained a lot from the conversation. I hope it was fruitful for all of you. I'm going to stop the recording at this point.